Today, or for our listeners, we're beginning with the prophet Jeremiah. I've told you this a number of times over the years that Jeremiah is like a lot of the prophets. He's never much of a happy camper as such. Extra credit. Does anybody know what the book after Jeremiah in the Old Testament is called? Lamentations. It's actually called the Lamentations, the Laments of Jeremiah. That's how he couldn't even put all of his complaints into one book. And this is here he's speaking for God in this particular chapter, and he's asking the question that parents ask when our adolescent children do things that we don't like. You know the famous question all parents ask: where did I go wrong? They'll grow out of it, but at the moment, where did I go wrong? So here it is God who's phrasing this question here through Jeremiah. So what happened to his people that he has chosen and looked after and watched over? What where did he go wrong? And here in second chapter, beginning in verse 4, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, for thus says our Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they have decided to depart from the pathway so far? They went after worthless things, and they did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us into the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land where no one can pass through, where no one will live? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. And when you entered, you defiled my land, you made my heritage an abomination. Even the priests and ministers did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers of the people transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied, but they prophesied for Baal. And they went after other things that do not profit in this world. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look, send to Kedar and examine with care, and see if there has ever been such a thing. Has the nations, any other nations, changed as gods, even though they are no gods at all? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, and I am the fountain of living water. And they dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." Like I said, not exactly a hopeful character. You know what a cistern is? Something not much in our world anymore. We lived in an old house years ago that had a cistern. It was the creepiest room in the house. It was wet and drippy, and years ago that caught the rain. Well, before, when you didn't have a pump and you didn't have a well or you didn't have city water, it's where you got your water from. The New Testament today, we're going to begin the book of Hebrews. This is towards the end of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. The apostles are putting this early church together. Whether it was the apostle Paul who wrote this, we don't know for sure. But he's looking at this early church and what does it mean, and how are we going to organize ourselves? And in a lot of ways, he's asking that question. So I'm beginning verse 1 and going through verse 8 and then 15 and 16. "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, and those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And then picking up at verse 15, it says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to show good and do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing unto God." you have to remember that the Hebrew people, who were the early worshiping church, they left behind all the hallmarks of security. That was family was security. Local community, that was security. And so when they joined the early Christian church, they left a lot of times all that stuff that made them feel secure behind. And so Apostle Paul is saying, what are we going to do to make this body of Christ work and give us that sense of peace in a world filled with, you know, all kinds of hazards out there? And then our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is still on his trip to Jerusalem. He's getting closer and closer and closer to the end. And here he particularly has a little dinner party with some Pharisees. And I'm sure his words went over like a lead balloon. But if you stand up for the gospel reading and then and our song then, shall we? This is in chapter 14, beginning of verse 1. It says, "On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, and they were watching him closely." And then picking up at verse 7, this is where the food started, I guess, going awry. "When he noticed how the guests chose all the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to the wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited, and then your host has to come to you, and he is who invited you both, and say to you, 'Friend, give way, give your place to this person.' And in disgrace, you would go and take a place which is lower. But then when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher,' and then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at that table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they would invite you in return, and so you'd be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Our gospel lesson, our scripture for today, and also our memory verse, comes from Jim Bloss's favorite book in the New Testament, huh? The book of James, which Martin Luther did not like the book of James. He called it a right straw epistle, you know. But he has some practical advice. And so our memory verse for today is from James verse chapter 3, verse 16. Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder. You want to try that one? Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder. Doesn't that sound grim? It really does. And again, it goes back to the idea that these early Christians were living in a fellowship which was unusual in its day. You look for security in your family. You look for security in your neighbors. And all of a sudden, those structures that held life together were suddenly being pulled apart because these people belonged to the Christian church. They were no longer going to be welcome at the temple. They were no longer going to be welcome in the marketplaces. And they lost all those structures that gave them that sense of completeness and wholeness and peace in life. They were embarking on a new journey. While you all were worshiping last Sunday, Sandy and I were coming back from our daughter in Chicago. Terrible rain, terrible rain all the way home. We were coming back from Chicago, and for those of you who don't know, the fastest way between Northeast Ohio and Chicago is to take the Turnpike. You take the Ohio Turnpike to the Indiana Turnpike. You take the toll roads. Drops off right about at our daughter's apartment, and so it goes along that route. And the Turnpike. Every time I go along there, I always remember I had an uncle Raymond. He's been dead for 35 years. He was a truck driver, and he always said you meet a better class of people when you drive on the Turnpike, because they're willing to pay to ride on the road. I don't know if that's particularly true or not, but he always the turnpike was being built when I was a little boy, and so he would always talk about being on the Turnpike and what that meant.
Well, anyway, we were on the turnpike, and for those of you who don't have the luxuries that I have in my life, we have what's called an easy pass. What it is, it's a transponder that you put underneath your mirror on your windshield. And so you don't have to stop. Again, most of you are like me, we're old. You remember when there were all those toll booths and people worked at them? If you haven't been on the turnpike or toll booth, that's gone. All those people are gone. That they don't exist anymore. And so this transponder is there, so you just kind of drive right up to this booth and zoom right on through. I'm thinking about this because over the course of the years that we've been driving to see the daughter out there, every so often somebody would go through, it's called an easy path. Some places call, when you get to Indiana, it's called an iPath. Some places have different names for it. But basically they all work, and then this transponder pays the toll right out of your credit card that they have. And so you don't have to stop. Every so often, though, when we go along, and they would have about 7 booths out there, and about 6 of them are easy pass only, and then they have 1 for cash or credit. And every so often you go along, and you go through the easy pass, and you go out to sail through it, and then there's somebody out in front of you who didn't read the signs. And over the years that we've been doing this, I must admit I've been practicing one of the 7 deadly sins. I've been practicing wrath. When someone gets ahead of you and they don't have an easy pass, and you're over there going, and then they just try to back out of there. Try to back out of the turnpike. Yeah. And you're, like I said, it just, I'm not going to tell you what I said. The words were inappropriate for clergy. But I'm over there going, don't these people read? Well, wouldn't you know, it happened to me on Sunday. My transponder has, if you have one of your, they have a battery in there, which does not last forever. They didn't tell you that when they got it. You know, they did not tell you that when you got it. We didn't learn this until Monday, that those batteries last somewhere between 8 and 15 years. We've owned our transponder since 2009, so it's 13 years old. And so I was the one in the easy pass lane who couldn't get through. The gate didn't come up, the light is red. You push the button for help. You know who comes to you to help? Nobody. Nobody. And when you call on Monday and you're still upset about the whole thing, you know, when you call on Sunday when you get home and they tell you the office is open at 8:30 on Monday morning, please call back then. You know, it does not put you in the best of moods. Well, anyway, I really felt that the Lord was trying to teach me humility. You are somewhat, all these people over the years that I've complained about doing this, trying to back out of a thing that they can't get out of, I found myself doing the same thing. Humility. Sometimes God has to shake us up a little bit to remind us of really our true place in the world and that we don't control everything, even though we like to think we do. That is in some ways where our gospel lesson takes us for today. Jesus is with, a ruling part of the Pharisees. He's having dinner with this guy. And in Bible days, dinner is never about food. Now, I know the minute I get done with this sermon, we're all going to head out there for the donuts, right? It's all, in our life, it's always about food. But in Bible days, food, it was not about the food at all. Food could be a religious thing if you kept the kosher meals. But mostly food was a chance to interconnect with people. And we would call it modern day social networking. You know, everybody's looking at one another. Who's sitting in the places of honor? Where he's sitting? And they rank them. The more important the person, you know, the higher up at the closer to the table they got. And so what happens in this story is Jesus, in this parable, he says, beware all these people who are choosing places of honor. You sit down in a big hurry and all of a sudden somebody more important than you comes in, and then your host has to come over you and say, friend, go to the end of the table and see what scraps are there. You get moved out. And Jesus says, it is better to have a little bit of humility in your heart and not be so quick to judge others and not be so filled with wrath when someone cuts ahead of you. He says, no, instead take the lowest place. And then when your host comes in and says, come up, friend, come up higher. So it's kind of a social networking event that Jesus has. And then he goes one step further. He says, not only that, he says, when you assume you go to a banquet, say a wedding banquet or some sort of honorable banquet, he says, when you go to this banquet and you get there, don't just invite those people who will invite you back. Don't just invite your friends and your relatives and rich people and people who will pay you back. He says, no, invite the lame and the broken and the sorrowing and all of those terrible things that happen to people in our lives. And has that moment. He says, invite those people, for they cannot pay you back in this world. But this is at the very ending of that lesson, says, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, of course, that's the hard part of this lesson, I think, because I don't think our world, the world you and I are going to live in for the rest of our days, I don't think people are terribly interested in the resurrection of the righteous. I don't think that's a... We're not that fond of what's going to come later on. We would like our cake now, not necessarily later on. And so the resurrection of the righteous, that's not a big deal. But what Jesus is saying is that as followers of the way, he says, you know, we should be people who are interested in the kingdom of God and interested in right relationships and righteous living and glorifying God. That's where our hearts and our minds should be, more than just being repaid. You know,
we had a
phone ring at 9 o'clock at night. You know what the phone ringing at 9 o'clock at night means? Those aren't telemarketers no more, right? There's always someone on the line telling you something that you really don't want to hear. Sandy, my wife, her nephew passed away yesterday. 52 years old, young guy, with a family. Wife came home, found him slumped out of a chair and gone. And then the part that was bothering her brother and sister-in-law was the fact that they wouldn't let the widow in because they had a rope off, because they didn't know if it was a crime scene or what. So she couldn't even see him right away. That's one of the things we as older people understand. Terrible things do happen in life, don't they? I mean, we don't look forward to them, but they really do happen. And so it's moments like that where we really have those terrible moments in life. That's at the moment when we appeal most to our sense of faith, our sense of God is with us and carrying us through those difficult moments. That's what Jeremiah was talking about in an Old Testament lesson. He says, we have forsaken the God who has given us living water, and we have built for ourselves cisterns that don't hold water. And because we're not interested in the kingdom or in righteousness, and we've gone off somewhere else, we miss that sense of what faith can bring to our lives in the midst of those difficult moments. And one of the other oddities of the world which you and I live in, and this is different than the world of the Bible. The world of the Bible, they believed that there were not vaccines. There was not medical help at your beck and call, who knows all the intricacies of your heart. That was not a part of their world. All they could do is care for people. You remember the stories of Jesus healing? He'd have a big crowd when he was doing the healings, which didn't happen very often. But you know, he healed some blindness or lame, and then he had thousands of people who'd show up. But once the healing stopped, they were gone. He's left with just 12. So healings were kind of a rarity. But we're interested not so much in caring anymore. We're interested in curing. We want to be cured. We want to be fixed. I had this talk with my oncologist 2 weeks ago. This guy, he really irritated me. If it wasn't so hard to start over, I'd dump him and go to somebody new. But we had this appointment. And, of course, you know, what we all want to hear, right, when we go to the doctors is, you're cured, right? Isn't that what I want to hear? He ain't going to say that. He said, you're doing okay. Okay. I mean, I don't want okay, I want fixed. And then he was with me for 45 minutes, which is a long visit. And you know what he wanted to know about? he says to me, he goes, has anything changed in your life recently? I said, well, I passed in my papers for retirement yesterday. And he goes, really? He says, where do you work? And I said, well, I work at Mount Zwingli Church over on Medina Line Road. And all of a sudden, we started talking about Zwingli. He wanted to know about Zwingli. I said, well, he was a 16th century reformer, lived in Switzerland. Well, why is it called Mount Zwingli? He is a Eucharistic minister in the Roman Catholic Church. But he's a guy who likes to, he's told me he's a guy who likes to know something new every day, learn something new. And he decided that Zwingli was his word of the day, I guess. And so we spent the next 40 minutes of my appointment talking about Zwingli.
It's not that I hate Zwingli. I really don't. He's a very interesting character. Try to describe him to somebody. It's like trying to, you know, paint a picture, you know, while you were sitting there. He lived 500 years ago. He was a contemporary of Martin Luther, but he didn't feel the same way about the Lord's Supper that Roman Catholics do. Well, what's the difference? So we had to go into the Eucharist and whether it's really the body and blood of Christ or if it's just a memory. Anyway, by the end of my visit, he says, yeah, you're doing okay. We'll see you later on. I wanted to hear, I'm cured, I'm fixed. You know, isn't it odd? All we care about is the curing and not the caring. And that's, of course, where we're at today. And then our lessons for today is the caring part that takes place. You and I, again, are going to live in a world which is in many ways filled with fears and anxieties, right? I mean, if it's not COVID, what's the next one in the line? Monkeypox? If it's not monkeypox, did you see the ones, the polio is coming back in New York? If it's not terrorists, it's local terrorists. If it's not, you know, you're afraid to walk downtown or even afraid to come to church. You never know who brought a gun. Our world is filled with that fear and that anxiety. And there's only two ways, I think, that the Scripture sees this. There's only two ways that we can go.
We can either be filled with anxieties and depressions and sadnesses and allow that to take over our life and our world because we think we can control all the events. And it makes us anxious and depressed when we can't control the events. Or the other possibility is that we can be, as former moderator of our church, Helen Maris, used to say to me on a regular basis, Pastor, have a little faith. Have a little faith. We can cling to this one who has called us to life and who is the gift of the living waters, you know, as Lou Anne in her love of the Gospel of John, you know, the living waters. Remember the story of the woman at the well? And she, you know, she, Jesus says, if you would ask, I would tell you how to get living water. She said, give us water always, you know. And then, of course, all those problems. The well is deep, you know. You don't have a pail.
He says living water is in his nature. It's in the very essence of Christ in your life. And so he moves us along in this direction. We can either be people who give in to our anxieties or we can give people who live lives of faith, believing that we have a merciful, just, and loving God who is always caring for us. Always caring for us. And of course, the hard part of that is where I started in this thing talking about humility. You know, it takes some humility to say we are not in control of our world or its events, but we have a God who we humble ourselves before, who has infinite love. Gospel of John again, huh, Luann? For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But if we give into, as the book of James says, if we give into a place where there's envy and selfish ambition, they will also become that disorder in our lives. Scripture is interested in ordering our lives around the presence and the power of Christ so that wherever we are going into the future, the Lord will be there waiting for us, calling unto us. Let's join in our prayers and then we'll go get those donuts. Gracious Lord, we have all had those experiences recently in our life where we are humbled. Some of us are going to go to sleep this week with surging over us with all kinds of cares. And yet we know we put our lives in others' hands. Can we put our eternal life in your hand? Don't we know that you are always with us? And when those phone calls come late at night and the difficult, raging waters of this world spill over, and when we feel afeared and anxious, help us to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ has made a bridge for us to walk across. And upon this bridge, He will walk with us. For I lo, He says, I am with you always, even unto the close of this age. And for that we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory as we humbly remember who we belong to and where we are going. Let the congregation sing.